Please stay tuned, and at the end of the program, we'll let you know where to send your questions for Dave and Tom to respond to in a future Contending for the Faith. You are listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Now, our final segment, Understanding the Scriptures, and we continue our exploration of the doctrine of salvation. Here again are Dave and Tom.
We're continuing with the Gospel. We're in the Gospel of John, John chapter 13, and we're going to start with verse 16. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them."
That's part of our problem, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah,
we know what we are.
We know a lot of things.
Right.
But do we do them?
Put it into practice. It
goes back to what we said, Dave. Maybe you want to pick up on that a little bit more. What I wanted to know was, you mentioned people are tempted. They just don't grit their teeth and go after it. My concern here was falling into legalism. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. Yes, I'm saved and I believe I'm going to be in heaven with the Lord, but I have these rules and regulations. Having begun in the Spirit, I'm now trying to perfect myself in the flesh.
There is a balance that we need. There are some people who go so far into freedom that they become libertarians, you know. Well, I can do whatever I want. Of course, Paul addresses that.
Many verses throughout the Scripture won't allow that.
But there is a balance. Now, this touches on Calvinism as well. To the Calvinists, God does everything. We can't even sin. God causes sin, and Calvin taught this, and they all teach it.
David goes to the other end of the spectrum, because to recognize that you're one of the elect, you have to begin to look at what you've done. Isn't that true?
Well, the only way you can really be confident that you're one of the elect, according to the Calvinist, is if you live a good enough life.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Now, of course, John Calvin said if you were baptized as a baby, then that's proof you're one of the elect. Or if you were a child of one of the elect, then you're one of the elect. But anyway, we don't want to get into that. But
it has to do with looking to works. That's my point,
yes.
Dave. And if you're looking to works, the chances of falling into a legalism, a law-oriented perspective.
Let's see how Paul deals with it.
Okay.
Philippians chapter 2, I think it's verse 13 or thereabouts. He says, "Work out your own salvation," not work for your salvation.
So you have to have it.
So that tells us that when we're doing good works, we are not working for our salvation. Mm-hmm. We are saved by grace through faith, not of works. Okay? "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So this isn't something that I can do on my own. I have to recognize the Spirit of God is at work in me. Christ is at work in me.
You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption.
But
you're the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right. But I don't just sit on a pink miracle cloud and sing hymns, you know, and away we go, and God does everything. I have to work out the salvation that he's given me. In fact, right there in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, where it says, "By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That's our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
"For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So the new life that I have in Christ is a life of good works. We read it in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth, okay? But there's a responsibility on my part.
Yeah,
I am to work it out. I am to do it.
It doesn't say the gift of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit. It's like a garden. You've
right.
got to nurture it. You've got
right.
to water it. It has to grow.
Absolutely. And Paul gives it to us again in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. Yeah, I don't remember these verses, Tom. I mean, I think it's verse 29. It's right there at the end of the chapter. He says, whereunto I also labor, striving. He's given it everything he's got. Striving according to his working that worketh in me mightily. So now this is something new. The law was given to be our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. We can't keep it. And the person under the law does not have Christ living in him and doing it for him. But now the Christian is born again of the Spirit of God, as you said, sealed by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of promise, unto the day of redemption. And now Christ is at work within us. So what I need to do is allow him to have his way, know his word, understand his will, commune with him in prayer, and then I give everything I've got to do my part, not for my salvation, but working out the good works, the salvation that God has given me.
Right. Not by might, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord.
So getting back to verse 17, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And if I know it, to him that knoweth to do good, Scripture says, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if I know that I ought to be doing this and I don't do it, Tom, I get a terrible guilty conscience, like somebody who knows he ought to get out of bed, but he just keeps lying there. Well, he says, the servant isn't greater than his Lord. And I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And if you want to be the chief, you want to be the big shot, then make yourself the servant of everyone. This was the example that Jesus gave. And Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, says, he left us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again, but commended himself to him that judges righteously.
Dave, I think about many of the verses in Scripture that admonish us to do certain things, encourages, exhort us, all the way down the line. And then I think about people who say, well, if you receive salvation, and it's by faith, and it's a gift, and you believe you're eternally saved, then there's nothing for you to do. Nothing. I'm thinking, how could anybody say that? Well, they can say it if they don't read the Scriptures.
Right.
But verse after verse after verse is a great encouragement. And as you said, if you're going to be the servant of all, then there's a lot to do.
There is. We need, I guess the problem in many churches, they're all chiefs and no Indians. Well, not really, but Tom, I can tell you I've been in a few churches and not attended every one, but those that I've visited, and we find the same thing everywhere. There are a few people who carry the load, a few people who are willing to visit the sick, a few people who are willing to sweep the floor or whatever it is, and make themselves servants, and most of the people don't do it, like prayer meeting generally. There are not too many people that show up for the prayer meeting. They're there Sunday morning. Well, Tom, we better move on. He says, verse 18, I speak not of you all, because all of you are not mine. I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture, and that's interesting, because he's talking about Judas, and back in chapter 6, is it verse 63 or somewhere around there, he says, have not I chosen you all, but one of you is a devil? So here he says, I know whom I've chosen. I think he's going beyond that now. He knows who will betray him. But that the Scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And Tom, this is a powerful verse, verse 19. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am. And he is in italics. And that would take us back to Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, where God says, I am God, there is none else, none like me, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And I tell you what will happen before it happens, so that when it does, you will have to acknowledge I am God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is claiming that he is this one. He says, I tell you what will happen before it happens, so that when it happens, you will have to acknowledge, you will believe that I am. And that, of course, is God's name from the Old Testament, Yahweh, I am that I am. Powerful scriptures, powerful confirmation that Jesus is claiming that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah, and Dave, another small point here. Jesus knows the future because he is God.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting that false things such as astrology and fortune telling and all of that, they're all mm-hmm. to undermine that only God can do this.
Right.
Dave and Tom will resume their discussion on the topic of salvation next week. We hope you can join us. This is Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Israel, Islam, and Armageddon, the new video by Dave Hunt, is now available from the Berean Call. Is the stage being set for the grand finale? Jerusalem, mentioned an astonishing 800 times in the Bible, is prophesied to play the key role in world destiny. Scores of biblical prophecies concerning Jerusalem have already come to pass, as will those yet to be fulfilled. Discover exciting insight into what will transpire in the days to come. Israel, Islam, and Armageddon shows how the current peace process is fraught with peril and will ultimately lead to Armageddon. How the Antichrist will lead the world's armies to destroy Israel. The truth about the Vatican's intentions and the Palestinian myth. Video host, lecturer, and author Dave Hunt.
We tell the truth about Arafat, who he is, about the PLO, what that is, about the so-called Palestinian people, where even the word Palestine that is commonly used today comes from. I think we clear up a lot of misunderstandings.
Jerusalem's history spans more than 3,000 years, but this city's most significant and critical days are yet to come. Join Dave Hunt for a fascinating and challenging presentation showing how today's headlines mirror biblical prophecy. Israel, Islam, and Armageddon. $24 includes shipping. Information on how to order in just a moment. If you are a serious student of God's Word, we offer many items that you'll find helpful. From books and tracts to audio and videotapes, CD-ROM, our internet website, and much more. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 2003. And be sure to mention the call letters of this station. Next week, we continue our series of discussions based on Dave Hunt's book, In Defense of the Faith, and Is Water Baptism Required for Salvation? In Religion in the News, is the war in Iraq a fulfillment of biblical prophecy? We'll take a look at that story and examine the question, on what biblical teaching must we agree? We hope you can tune in. If you have questions or comments about this program, we urge you to contact our offices. Search the Scriptures Daily radio ministry is made possible by God's grace, your prayers, and your financial support. I'm Gary Carmichael, and for Dave, Tom, and everyone here at the Berean Call, I would like to thank you for joining us and invite you to tune in again next week. In the meantime, if you desire to know God's truth, search the Scriptures Daily.
You've been listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. For more information about the Berean Call and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon, 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website, at www.thebereancall.org.